This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Getting struck by lightning has become a reference for a statistical rarity. It's like winning the lottery or being attacked by a shark. The chances are almost impossibly slim. In truth, lightning strikes are far more common than you might imagine. More than 500 Americans are struck each year. And in an 80-year lifespan, the chances of being hit at some point are about 1 in 6,000.
A chiropractor and L.A. County lifeguard was in the ocean when a massive bolt of lightning struck Venice Beach on July 27th.
My heart, my lungs, everything probably stopped working the second that bolt of lightning hit.
There are certain elements we hear in just about every survivor's story. The bright flash, the 911 call, the charred clothes or blown off shoes. What we don't hear is what happens in the months and years afterwards. In a recent article for Outside Magazine, science writer Farris Jaber explores just how little we know about how lightning strikes affect the human body and the symptoms that survivors may experience long after the storm has passed. Farris, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Now, Farris, you start your article with the story of Michael Utley. Can you tell us what happened to him and how his story kind of defies our common thinking about the lightning strike survivor?
So Michael Utley was struck by lightning on a golf course in May of 2000, and he received a direct strike probably to his head, and enough electricity got inside his body to stop his heart and lungs. So he was actually technically medically dead for a little while, but the friends that were with him rushed to his aid, gave him CPR, and they were able to restart his heart in the ambulance, so he did survive. But he sort of was in and out of a coma-like state for more than a month, around 38 days. And after that, he had to spend a long time in rehabilitation, relearning how to walk, how to talk, how to swallow. And ever since then, he's sort of had this lifetime of chronic physical and psychological problems. He still has a really hard time walking and getting around. You know, when he tries to move from one place to another, he sort of shuffles. He says he looks like a drunk. Mm-hmm. He still has a lot of pain in his muscles. And it changed his personality as well. He says it made him a lot meaner, a lot more irritable. He thinks that the personality changes contributed to his divorce. So it really sort of, you know, he says that it really aged him many decades in a single instant.
There are videos on Outside's website, conversations with some of the survivors. Here is Michael Utley talking about how people really don't understand his long-term symptoms after the strike.
The wounds that you see will be, if you're wearing a necklace, that'll heat up and it'll burn your neck. So, you know, there's no entry, there's no exit wounds. People look at you, hey, you look fine. You know, but it's like you pour a Coca-Cola on a laptop. You can clean the laptop up, really. Looks good. It's going to run the same? Probably not.
A necklace heats up on his neck. Do doctors know what actually happens to a person's body when they are struck by lightning? And how might that compare to other electrical shocks and injuries?
Yeah, so there are some things that doctors and scientists know, and there's a lot more that they don't know. So what physicists know about, you know, when a lightning strike hits the human body is that most of the electricity actually passes over the human body rather than right through it, which is why a lot of people who are hit actually survive. So, and they call this a flashover. So if you think about the way that lightning strikes a tree, you know, both people and trees have this soup of water and minerals inside them that is a really good conductor of electricity. But when lightning hits a tree, it's forced to go straight through that tree because bark is so tough and inelastic that it has to stay inside the trunk. But with human skin, which is much more pliant and soft, electricity is able to pass over it. So it crackles around the skin rather than going straight through. But when it does pass over the skin, it can superheat any metal objects that someone is wearing, like necklace or jewelry or a zipper, and then that can burn skin. And it can also turn, you know, moisture and rainwater and sweat into scalding steam. And that's what blows people's socks and shoes off, and that can also burn the skin.
You mentioned they're not often fatal. How often are they?
So 90% of people who are struck survive. And 10% of people who are struck die. But the 90% of people who survive have these really chronic and mysterious physical and psychological injuries.
Yeah, no surprise, a number of physical injuries. But about these injuries that we cannot see, neurological or emotional after effects, what do we know about those?
They're really wide-ranging, really diverse, and really difficult to explain. They include everything from insomnia to memory problems, personality changes, forgetting, you know, how to use everyday objects like a potato peeler, a sort of constant ringing in the ears. Some people find themselves with something like narcolepsy, where they just get really exhausted all the time. And, you know, there's really only a very small number of doctors that have seriously looked into how exactly these psychological changes come about. And the evidence suggests that the electricity in a lightning bolt essentially fries or ravages the nervous system and parts of the brain. But, you know, one problem a lot of survivors encounter is that they go from doctor to doctor, from psychiatrist to psychiatrist, looking for somebody who knows how to help them. And they have a really hard time finding anyone, because most medical doctors don't receive training on how to treat the long-term symptoms and after effects of a lightning strike.
Here's one of the victims who is profiled in your piece. It's Phil Broskovac. He was struck while mountain climbing in 2005. And he's talking here about an experience he went through about a year later.
I think a year or two after the strike, I was in the grocery store. Last thing I had to do was go get produce. And I'm walking down the produce aisle thinking nothing. Everything's fine. And then they go to water their vegetables. And before they do, they make little lights flash and they make thunder sounds. And then they spray the water. And I freaked out completely. I pushed the metal cart as far away as me. I mean, I went crashing into some vegetable bin. And I went down into the lightning pose, which is balls of feet, hands over your ears, as small as you can be with your mouth open. And there was no lightning strike. So that when I finally looked around, I was looking at all these people staring at me like they were watching a person have a complete and utter break, which they had.
Sounds to me like symptoms we've heard from traumatic brain injury or PTSD. What kinds of resources or support systems are available for survivors trying to deal with emotional symptoms after a strike?
So there are a few annual meetings of lightning strike survivors and also people who have survived electrical accidents. And a lot of lightning strike survivors have turned to these meetings because they found so little support in the mainstream medical community. And usually they get together and they share stories. And a lot of people say it's very, very helpful, especially in the beginning when, you know, a lot of their family and friends even just have a really hard time understanding why and how they've changed. So it's really helpful for them to commiserate with each other and just know there's other people out there that are going through the same thing.
Well, you attended one of these conferences in Lynchburg, Virginia, met a lot of different kind of people. We have heard about a sort of fringy side of population who have been struck by lightning as having special powers. Did you meet any people like that?
Yeah, I went to a lightning strike survivors conference in Virginia, and I did meet a few people who had stories that were a little harder to believe and a little bit more difficult to check out. And I think that perhaps these conferences attract people who, for whatever reasons, are just sort of seeking a community or seeking commiseration, and they might exaggerate or make up certain parts of their stories. But it's also possible they don't realize that they're doing it. You know, it's possible they actually believe this has happened to them, even if it hasn't. And yes, you know, there are people who claim, for example, that when they walk past the lampposts go out, or that now that they've been struck by lightning, they think that they're statistically more likely to be struck again, or that, you know, batteries never last as long with them as they do with other people. And I guess, you know, it's somewhat understandable why something like this could cause such beliefs. But, you know, most scientists and doctors don't think there's any evidence for those kinds of phenomena.
Farris Chaper, thank you for a look at a population we just don't hear about. Appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
That's science writer Farris Chaper. You can find a link to read his article, The Body Electric, for Outside Magazine at wordofmouthradio.org. Those videos of survivor testimonials are there as well. If you want Apple's latest, the iPhone 6 Plus, you can expect to shell out $300 or more. While that may seem steep, some are spending upwards of $30,000 for customized cell phones with concierge service. The newest thing in conspicuous consumption when word of mouth continues.